God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. One translation, I think it's Moffat's translation, says a man's harvest in life, the man's harvest in life depends entirely on the seed that he sows. So he or she sows seed in the kingdom to reap a harvest. Think about it. You go to work, you get money from really essentially working in the world system, and that money, then you take a portion of that and tithe it, and take another portion of that and sow it as an offering, and then God multiplies that offering back. And so what you're doing is sowing, you're sowing in the kingdom and reaping from the world. You know what I mean? Well, that's all right. Oh, great. Praise the Lord. Okay. All right. Let's open our Bibles, please. And tonight, we want to go a little bit further and talk about this subject of what I call living in the kingdom. Living by faith. The life of faith. Praise God. Amen. The life of faith. Let's start, several places we can start here. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 11, please. And let's start at verse 8. Let's pray and we'll get started. Father, thank you for the word. Thank you for the anointing on me and these lips of clay, that I may speak forth its word with excellence, accuracy, and boldness. We give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, can you agree by saying amen? Amen. All right. He says, verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 16. But now they desired a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. For he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which also he received him in a figure. All right. Now this life of faith really is something that is not going to only be an option in the last days, but I think it's going to be mandatory. I think we're coming into a time now that the financial markets are going to be so up and down, you're going to have to use your faith to stabilize. And things are happening. I'm just noticing thunderstorms seeming to be, lights are going out quicker than they went out before, and so catastrophes and things that are happening in the earth and so forth. So you're going to have to use some faith here. And so faith is that which God has given us to live by. In fact, he said that the just shall live how? Just shall live by faith. You'll see that about four times in the scriptures. So that is very, very key. We're coming up on a faith conference now, and I do it every year. Why? Because I want to keep you filled with faith. After you get born again, if you get filled with the Holy Ghost, the very next thing you should try to do is learn how to use your faith. Praise God. All right. So we talked about faith in several aspects last time. We really got some revelation knowledge out of it. But now, as we look at faith, faith connects us with the invisible world. Faith connects us with the invisible world. And everything is really there in that invisible world. If you'll turn with me over to 1 Peter, please. 1 Peter and chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let me know when you get there by saying, praise the Lord, somebody. There's only a few doors over to the right now. 1 Peter chapter 1. He said in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. So there is an inheritance that you have that is incorruptible, it's undefiled, and it fades not away, and it's reserved in heaven. Now, we know that when you get there, you're going to get your mansion, you're going to reach your goal, all these kind of things. But there are some things that you can have right here. Right here, Abraham is searching for this city. And so right here in this earth, there can be an inheritance that you and I can get in this earth. But for us to be able to extract that inheritance out of the place that God has stored it, you see, Jesus redeemed us, and now we, and redeemed the land, but now we need to reclaim the land. We have, God is putting us in this place to go out and take back what is already ours, what Jesus already has paid for. So, as we look at this, one man said it like this, Albert Einstein, I think it was, that the level of problems that we have today are not going to be able to be solved on the same level that they were created. In other words, it's going to have to, level one problems cannot be solved with level one solutions. We're going to have to get another level to be able to solve the problems of today. And so as we do that, faith is that next level, that we go up into the unseen. Now, once we talk about faith, we have just departed from the senses. We're no longer there. So you can't feel it, you know. Boy, I got some goosebumps on that one. It must have been God. So what you can't do is all these things that you try to use to verify whether faith is working, you're going to have to depart from those. Now, I'm saying God allowed Gideon to fleece him, but if you get fleeced today, try to fleece God, you might get fleeced. In other words, God has given you the Holy Ghost, and that Holy Ghost is going to be teaching you. He's going to be teaching you who you are, what you can do, what you can have, so forth and so on. So he does that. Now, as we do this, one of the things that we use faith in, of course, is prayer. And the Bible talks about in 1 Peter chapter 3, let's go over there, please. And he says this in verse 12, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and their ears are open to their prayers." I like the fact that he attached righteousness to prayers. And the prayers that he's talking about, of course, are prayers of faith. He says over in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, "This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that if he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have the petition that we have of him." Now, how do you know he heard you? You know he heard you because you ask according to his what? Will. Now, once you know that you prayed according to his will, you're going to have to receive what you have asked for and receive it by faith. You're going to have to know that God heard you and that you have what you petitioned him for. Lord have mercy, I'm trying to get this thing get going now. Now, I remember when I used to pray the prayer, "Now lay me down to sleep." Oh Lord, somebody else prayed that. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Okay, say the next part. If I should die. See? All right, now thank God you've been taught better than that. Amen. This basically is how we've learned some things, and what we've had is it sounds good, and it sounds spiritual, and it sounds, you know, religious, but actually the first thing about effective prayer, it must be based on the Word of God. It must be based on the Word of God. See, and so what we have to do is we have to come back to God's Word, and we have to get what God said about our situation and include that what he said in our prayer life, and that is God's part of our prayer life. Somebody say you have to start with the end in mind. So God wants us to live this life of faith. But once you start saying, "I'm going to live this life of faith," no longer can you look to your flesh to tell you whether God is moving, whether this thing is working, or so forth like that. And saints of God, I want to say that that is the thing that separates the men from the boys, so to speak. It separates the believer who is mature from the baby Christians. Now, you cannot go into Canaan and fight those giants as a baby. I know now that as you go into Canaan, I believe that deception gets more deceptive. And if you just judge things by the flesh, you will find yourself in trouble. Say amen to this. And so I want to encourage you that it's time for us to live this life of faith and understand that, hey, God has already done some things for us. It's not that he's going to do something. When you start praying, you're praying what he's already done. Praise God. And your prayer is the way that you release your faith to access it. All right? Now, one of the things, and then what I want to get into tonight, is turn to Genesis chapter 18, please. Genesis chapter 18. God is just telling me I'm not done with something yet. Put something in Genesis chapter 18. Now, how did I know God said that? Right, by the Spirit. But wait a minute now. How do I know it was the Spirit? Because I received the Holy Ghost. Okay. But I had to take that by faith. And you can develop yourself in faith. And I was talking to Bishop Oedipo the other day, and he was talking about, I said, well, what you teaching on? He said, I'm teaching on the life of Abraham. Now, what was he saying, basically? Faith. Faith, because this is the thing that you've got to constantly refresh in the minds and hearts of the believers, because the battles that you're going to have are going to be either won or lost by faith. Hey, folks, I'm telling you, listen, God did not make it so you win a few and lose a few. God has designed for you to win all of them. And somebody might say, well, you know, suppose it's a 9-inning game. I don't play 9-inning games. I play to I win. And you got to understand that the prayer and the prayer of faith, and when you get into faith, you are guaranteed the victory. You are guaranteed the victory. Say amen to that. That's why the enemy doesn't like folks to pray. He likes you to think of prayer after you got beat up, hit in the head, bandage all over you, and so forth, after everything failed. Now, I think I'll pray. And somebody said, well, has it come to that? You know, the point of it is, you should have been there before you got hit. So faith, and it's in everything. It's in everything, every aspect of your life with God is faith. So I'm up here, and now I'm talking to you, and all of a sudden, he said to me, I'm not done with that. I'm not done with that. So just one impression, I received it by faith. Now, I shared this with you before. If I take a fishing pole, now, I'm not a fisherman, but other people are. I'm a fisherman of men, but other folks are fishermen of catfish and bass and so forth. But they throw it out there. Experienced fishermen can tell you when something's nibbling on that bait. But an inexperienced fisherman won't tell you. They won't know it. But they pull it up, nothing's there. Well, why isn't anything there? Because the fish got it and ran. Well, why didn't I feel it? Because I'm not experienced enough. But you get experience, you can feel it in your hand. You can feel any little touch, and you feel, ooh, well, I got you, see? And that's that's what you have to do with his word. So the more experience I get, the more, the quicker he talked to me, I just, boom, just got it just like that. Say amen to that. We're teaching on Sundays now on vengeance and recompense and so forth. Well, I was told, and I told Bernard to come in here the other Sunday and teach, and not teach, but say something about it. And now Bernard is kind of an interesting guy. He's probably not here, so I'm gonna talk about it. He's over the bookstore. And when I say interesting, I mean this way. He goes sometimes with me at big meetings and handles the book and tape table. You know, people want to come by, buy books and tapes. And he knows them so well till they say, well, what's in this right here? Well, that's in there. You got three chapters of this and that. Well, what's in this tape here series? Well, he got five chapters, so forth and so on. So he knows it. So what I've been preaching, he listens to, and it gets so in him till he sounds like me at the table. So I get this letter saying, would you please send Reverend Bernard to preach for us? Okay, that's all right. Right there, hey, listen, didn't it say follow me as I follow God? Follow my faith, praise God. But I'm saying, don't be surprised if you start sounding like Bill Winston. Well, you must be going over there to that faith church. Yes, and you need to go over there. You need to get yourself some faith. Say amen to that. Amen. They told me I sound like somebody else. My point to you is, it's the faith, it's a spirit of faith that they detect. It's the same faith. So we are the same faith as Abraham. That's the faith that doesn't need to see it or smell it or touch it before it knows that it's so. And I'm talking about a kind of faith that you are so sure about it till you would, a person would even take their firstborn, their only begotten. Say amen to that. Are you following what I'm saying? That's a deep faith, man. When you know you heard God say to offer up your child. Are you following what I'm saying? So my point to you is that God wants to develop your faith, and you go from faith to faith. And each time, your sensitivity to those fish out there, it gets better and better and better and so forth. Are you following? Now, when you start moving like that in faith, you get like this fish. This fish, the man caught him, pulled him in the boat. And this fish was jumping all around, and the man saw that the fish wasn't quite the size that he wanted. He was a sports fisherman. So he took him and threw him back in the water. And this fish went back in that water and went and found some of his friends. He said, man, I just had the experience of my life. I said, what happened? There's some people out there. There's some what? Some people out there. You mean there's something other than water? Yeah. Oh, you crazy. What is wrong with it? I'm just saying, when you start talking faith, it's because you see something other people can't see. You're having an experience that other people don't have, because you can't get this with the flesh. You can't get this. Say amen to that. So that's where God is taking you. And he's taking you to a place when they talk about you, it won't bother you. Because you're living in another zone. Glory to God. Isn't that something? All right, so the thing that he told me to make sure you know is going back to Mark 11:24. Whatsoever thing, just put it up on the board, please. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray. Come on, just what? Believe that you receive them, and come on, and you shall what?
Have
them. All right, go with me then. All right, go with me now to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Now, I'm not getting deep here. It's just the life of faith. It's not anything deep. It's very, very understandable, but most Christians have not developed it. Because technology, E.W. Kenyon said in the last days, the reason why unbelief is going to be so prevalent, especially among God's people, is because of technology. You don't have to believe for it. You can just get an iPhone. You know what I mean? Okay, so if you look at this, look what it said in verse 14. I didn't say verse 14, did I? Did I say verse 14? Yeah, okay. Lord have mercy. It's not the right verse. Verse 27, please. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying, saying, thy son of David have what? Mercy on us. And when he was come to the house, the blind men came to him, And Jesus said to them, believe ye that I'm able to do this? And they said unto him, what?
Yes.
What does yea, Lord, mean?
Yes.
It means yes. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your what?
Faith.
Be it unto who?
You.
So it's your faith.
Yes.
It's according to your faith. And if you don't see it and it's not working, that's because of your faith. But hang in there. It'll work for you. I did not start out on top like that. I started out believing for what, $300? Boy, I'm telling you, that $300 wore me out, man. I was trying to believe what I saved. Because this $300. So I'm saying that was a struggle for me. But remember, all your inheritance is already there. Everything Satan stole, Jesus got it back and put it in your account. Now you believe by faith and extract it out of there. Whether it's health, whether it's wealth, whether it's peace, whether it's joy, everything comes by faith. Say amen to that.
Amen.
All right, that's all I wanted to show you on that. Now, let's go over to Genesis chapter 18. All right. Now, I've had... Again, Brother Bernard came and told me, he said, you know, a couple people coming in the bookstore and asking, does God still love us? Now, I was trying to figure that out. Where did that come from? And they hear me preach on vengeance and recompense. All right. Now, let me help you. Okay, because you're going to have to receive this by faith. Say amen to this. When God allowed the earth to flood and all flesh was wiped out, was it because God didn't love the world?
No.
No. It is because he did love them.
Yes. Yes.
Because if he would have let it go on, then even Noah and his family would have been wiped out.
That's right.
And there would have been, you wouldn't have even been here.
Amen. Amen.
Because he would have been left without seed.
That's right.
But because he loved the world, he allowed the flood to wipe it out.
Yeah.
All the world had gone into demonic worship.
That's right.
How you following what I'm saying? He's not hating. God is too big to hate. Say amen to that. He's trying to figure out a way to save you. But now you're entering into what I call the end time latter rain. And you're entering into an anointing that functions to protect you. An anointing that functions to restore you. And I'm preaching things up there now that you're going to have to receive by faith. And I said that we are now I talked a while ago about if you just get $1 billion and your mind, you know, if you don't change anything in your soul, then that $1 billion weighs too much. It'll crush the structure. But God has a way that through the anointing, he can add grace to your thinking. That you can handle $1 billion tomorrow. See what I'm saying? But that may be too high for some folk. And they, I don't know about that, Reverend. Well, you know, if I mention something else, they might buy that. But if I go too high.
Wow.
So I've got stuff I can go to that you'll shake your head and say, oh, I don't know whether I'm going back over that next Wednesday night. My point to you is that this thing goes on up.
Come on.
You haven't hit anything yet. Say amen to that. I think it's about 7 levels up there. That you just getting in the door. I mean, there's stuff up there that if I preach it, you say, that man is out of his mind. I don't know what I... You follow what I'm saying? It is so far. I really believe. Anything you can do with the natural is only being able to do, you can do it because it can be done spiritually. How many of you have ever heard of cosmetic surgery? Okay. What does cosmetic surgery do, basically? It can change, you know, the way you... Am I right about it?
Come on, preacher, come on down.
Anything you can do naturally, this word can do by faith. That's why I told you, I said, we're going to get a wave in the church. We're going to see time. See, every time we meet, it should be miracle. I'm not talking about I'm touching you. I'm talking about I'm just preaching. Now, that's where the church should be right now. See, but we got to leave Egypt. See, I know we left physically, but did we leave mentally? Because in Egypt, you got to see it before you believe it. He said, do you believe I'm able to do this? They said, yeah, Lord. He said, then according to your faith, be it unto you. Well, according to your faith, be it unto you. Do you believe I'm able to give you cosmetic surgery while you sleep tonight? Do you believe that I'm able to put money in your pocket while you listen to Pastor Winston teach? Do you believe, come on now, do you believe that I can erase every bit of bad credit in the computers in this earth concerning your name? Do you believe that I'm able to put a new head of hair on your head? Do you believe that I'm able to put new teeth in your mouth? Do you believe I'm able to turn around that man from acting ugly in your house? Do you believe that I can promote you? I can give you I. It's according to your faith. Now, we got to stop preaching something that is doable. We're not just made for doable. We're made for impossible. And for you to believe it, I got to preach it. Say tonight somebody is receiving a financial miracle. Tonight I gotta say amen. Now notice, when I said that, some folk jumped up. Why did they jump up? Because what I preached was over their head and they jumped up to get it. I'm saying this is you got to understand, I'm your preacher. I said, I'm your preacher. I know I got you at Genesis, but I can't go there yet. Coming over to Chronicles, 2 Chronicles in chapter 20, please. Now, only now, see, the problem is we believe more of the newspaper than we have the paper that's in your lap. And we got to believe the paper that's in your lap, that if you believe, all things, come on, are possible. That it's according to your what? Faith be it unto you. God can fix you while you sleep. Say amen to that. This is what you should be seeing in the church. Every time we get together, it's such a power being released until miracles just happen. See, all you need is the presence of God. And when God's presence shows up, burdens are removed. Do you believe? This is coming out of the Holy Ghost. I said, "Do you, I'm over here now. Do you believe?" Yeah, see?
Thank you.
No. If God has already, now understand where he's taking you back to. Taking you back to Eden. And it's restoring everything. Everything that's been damaged, lost, hurt, whatever, God's restoring it. See, Jesus came, and notice what John the Baptist says. Behold the who? Lamb of who? God. That what? Taketh away the what? The sin of the world. See, he took away the sin. And sin basically is disobedience to God. Caused by disobedience. It means missing the mark. But the iniquity is left, which is, I explained it Sunday, is like I take my foot and put it in the mud. Now, if I step down and then I take my foot out, what's left? A print. See? Jesus took the foot out, but the print's still there. And that's what's being removed. He technically dealt with sin. But now the print's got to be removed. Every bit of evidence that sin had come into your life has to be removed. And it's going to be removed today. Praise God. Are y'all with me? Now, what did I tell you to turn now?
Second Chronicles.
All right. Now, I won't. I'm going to talk about it. Praise God. All right. Look at it. He got it up there already. See there? There's a believer up there somewhere. I said there's a believer up there somewhere. Praise God. Put it up there. I didn't even tell him to put it up there. But by faith. He had to have some faith because I come down on that ministry up there sometimes. No, I'm just kidding. I've changed now. Praise God. By faith, I've changed. But notice what has happened now. Jehoshaphat and them were surrounded. There was no way out. Impossible. Now, what's happening is God spoke. Who did he speak through? He spoke through a person and he spoke prophetically. And he said, "Hey, tomorrow, go out against them. Go down here by the cliff's edge." Now, understand, they got to receive all this how? By faith. All those instructions that are coming from this prophet that's speaking this out, they're going to have to receive it all how? By faith. They have no proof that this is going to work because it sounds impossible. They go out there tomorrow by the cliff's edge and so forth and so on. You'll not need to fight this battle. Because the battle is not yours, it's God's. And that's what I've been teaching on Vengeance and Recompense. I said, hey, you're in a time now that the Holy Spirit has fully taken the ministry of Christ and executing that ministry now in this earth. And the number one job of the Holy Spirit is to execute vengeance upon all the enemies of God's people, and nothing shall escape him.
Amen.
So I'm saying every way you step, he's going to take care of you.
That's right.
Every way you step.
Yes.
Are you following what I'm saying? Now, how do you have to receive that?
By faith.
You have to receive it by faith. See, don't sit up here and argue with me. If you don't believe your preacher, then go somewhere else with somebody you believe.
Hallelujah.
So what happened? He said, "You not need to fight this battle. You just go up there tomorrow. And the battle is not yours, but it's God's." Now, when you go up there, I don't want you to fight. What I want you to do is praise me.
Jesus, come on.
Boy, you're talking about something that don't make sense. Instead of putting the people with all the weapons in the front, you're going to get the choir? Am I right about it? See, now understand, when people don't receive this, then they're left with their flesh.
Okay.
And they're going to have to defend themselves. And they're going to end up begging everybody. God never created the church to beg for a thing. My God shall supply all your needs. Say amen to that. But what you need to do, you got to make up your mind that I'm committed to faith. I'm committed to the life of faith. God's going to take care of me, and he's going to do it, and he's going to do it on time. Got it? So what happened now? Praise God. They got there. Next day, they came up, started singing. All right. And before they did, they rose up early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Now, if you believe in the Lord, your God, you shall be established. And if you believe his prophets, come on, you will prosper." Don't forget that. Say amen to that. What is it that God cannot do? Nothing. Now we know he can't lie. Don't be trying to tell. But we know there's nothing he can't do. You are with God. And remember what I told you, that one of the first manifestations of Adam's fall was self-defense. I'm going to defend myself. You were not made to defend yourself. God's going to take care of you. So what happened? They went and went out there, and they started singing and praising, and all of a sudden the enemy turned on one another. They turned on one another. I'm looking one day for this news media to turn on one another. They're going to turn on one another. Yeah, it's a mess in that news. And by the way, watch that news. Now, don't look at too much of that, you know, because it'll try to pull you on one side or the other. And next thing you know, our first service will be Republican, next service Democrat. Saying next, so forth like that. All right. Okay, so, where do I have you now? Praise the Lord. Where do I have you? Second Chronicles. All right. Let's go one more place. Let's go to 2 Kings. And 2 Kings chapter, 2 Kings chapter 18. All right. Now, in this one, what I wanted to show you, and one of the biggest things I wanted to talk about tonight, is angels. Angels. Okay? Now, in the last days, you're going to see more activity probably than you ever seen of angels ever in your life. Got it? Now, when you got saved, angels were there. I heard one man describe it like this. Two angels stood there when you got saved and took down your name, took down the church, took down the time, took down everything. They took down all of this and took off to heaven. Then they recorded it in the book of life. Got it? Because every person's birth has to be recorded. You got what I'm saying now? I'm saying it's a whole lot going on in the spirit world. See? All right? So now, are they not all ministering spirits? This is Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14. Sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. So now you're an heir of salvation. Now you get angels with you. Okay? And I believe depending on your task depends on how many angels you get. Okay? You're not doing anything. You may get a half angel. Or something. No, I was just kidding. But you know. You follow what I'm saying, Brother Wayne? When they're not doing anything, you don't give but a half. Somebody's not doing anything with you. Okay, so now, but when you move forward and you go into the war zone, then you'll find the anointing increases. And that's because the presence of angels are coming right from the throne. And they're coming there to make sure that you win the warfare. See, they're making sure. Are you following what I'm saying now? Now, what do I have to do? I have to believe this. prophecy. I got to believe this.
Yes.
Because if I don't believe it, I'll talk against them.
Yes.
I'll say, boy, you know, I done got myself in the worst situation. See, I'm talking against my angels. But if I know these giant warring beings are all around me, I'll talk just as big as I
come on
now. Are you following what I'm saying? So I'm saying, by faith, I must receive that I have ministering spirits that are right there with me. I got to have faith. I got to know that they're there. Say amen to that. How did I get on this? Okay, all right. All right. Amen. Amen. Angels. Now, I'm saying over in Genesis 18, angels came to Abraham, and they came to Abraham, and they said, hey, should we keep from Abraham what's about to go on in Sodom? And what did they do? They told him what was going on, and he began to speak to the Lord. He said, now, wait a minute. If we find 50 righteous in that place, will you still destroy?
Come on.
That's the righteous interceding for folk who need help. Am I right about it? And they began to intercede and got them all the way down to 10. My point to you is that now angels are going in there to deliver Lot. So now I've got angels who are coming in the earth, and somebody said this, that sometimes you entertain them unaware.
Come on.
I remember this lady when we were going to church. I was first service going to church in Evanston, and she came in, and she had this just almost horrified look on her face. And we said, what happened? She came to choir rehearsal. She said, something just happened. I said, what was it? That I went and got to the grocery store because I was late for choir rehearsal, and I got the groceries, put them in the trunk, but when I got to the car, there was a guy who was leaning on my car, and I said to myself, he's going to be a little embarrassed when I tell him he's leaning on my car, you know, or something. And she said, excuse me, you're on my car, I'm trying to get in the trunk. He said, oh, I'm sorry, and so she lifts her up. He said, are you going so-and-so? And she said, well, she didn't know. She had never seen him. He was going on up in age. And she saw that, you know, he didn't seem to be moving around quickly and so forth. And she said, okay. She said, now, okay, I'm going by there. He said, I would surely appreciate a ride. I just need a ride. And she said, something told her to put him in the car. So he put him in the car, got to the place where he was, and his house that he was going to was up on the hill. So he had to walk up a high grade of steps to get to the front door of that house up on the hill. It was in Evanston. And so she said, she got out, and he had put something in the trunk that he had with him, a carton of a little box of little groceries or something. And she took it and put it in his hand, and he took it, and he backed up. He said, thank you very much. But she said, on the way up there, he kept asking her about God. He said, do you know the Lord? And so forth and so on. And she said, yes, so forth. And then she took and gave him the box, and then he said, go, I can take it from here. And so she said, thank you. She got in the car, and she had a standard shift. She put it in first gear and pulled on and looked back in the mirror, and nobody was there. And then she stopped the car because she looked back and said, he was gone. Now, another incident of this, people traveling in North Carolina, and they travel, and a guy was hitchhiking, and the guy looked well-dressed and so forth, and something said, give him a ride, the man and his wife. So they gave the man a ride, got him in the car. And so when they got him in the car, he sat in the back, and they were going on down in North Carolina, and they were talking to him. And then they noticed he stopped talking, and the man looked back in the mirror. He didn't see anybody. They stopped the car, and nobody was back there. And now they hadn't stopped running. Now, I'm not telling you to pick up everybody you see, and I'm not telling you. Did I tell you that? Did I say that? I didn't say that. All right. So there's some fools out here. And but anyway, what happened was, he was gone. So they were so shook up, they stopped the highway patrolman and saw him and stopped on the side of the road and talked to him, said, we picked up a man and put him in the car and he disappeared. The highway patrolman said, we have had reports of that for about 3 days.
Jesus.
Now, I'm only saying that some angels are coming now to help you reach your destiny. And when I'm talking about vengeance, I'm not talking about getting mad at anybody. I'm talking about reaching your destiny. And we're going to have some supernatural help for the first time that people before didn't have this kind of help that we're about to get. Why? Because we're in the end of the end times. This thing has got to be completed right now. Say amen to that. So what happened was, in this particular case, Hezekiah had a problem. And the problem was, again, the enemy come, and the enemy was taken over to the point that Hezekiah really couldn't do anything. He saw himself outnumbered and whatnot, and the enemy demanded some gold. He gave the enemy some gold, the Assyrians, and the Assyrians weren't satisfied with that. Now they wanted more. You know, the devil is never satisfied, so don't be trying to appease him, because he is never satisfied. And so next thing you know, Hezekiah sent his embassy, sent some people to Isaiah the prophet. And once he sent him to Isaiah the prophet, this is in 2 Kings 19, Isaiah the prophet sent a word. And he said, you won't need to fight this battle. He said, the enemy is going to hear a rumor in his own country. And he's going to go back to his own country, and he will be destroyed there. And so what did Hezekiah do? He took the note. He took it. And I have done this before. I have taken that Bible and held it up to God. Said, Lord, you said, amen, because I was desperate, you know what I mean? But what did he do? He took it in the temple, the note that Isaiah sent him, and opened this letter and began to read it before God. But next thing you know, God moved, and God moved with angels. Well, let's look at that. 2 Kings chapter 19, please. Now, are you with me?
Yes.
I'm talking about faith now. I'm talking about the life of faith. Because when you're talking about that, you're talking about a supernatural lifestyle.
Amen.
I said a supernatural lifestyle. And let me just finish this and we'll be gone. 2 Kings and chapter what? What did I say? 19. Lord have mercy. Okay. Then he said this. Verse 35. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 104 score. How much is that? And 5,000. That's 185,000 men got smitten. And when they rose early in the morning, behold, they were all what? Dead corpses. Now, what am I saying to you? Somebody said, well, God doesn't do that kind of thing today. But I have you to know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the same way he delivered them yesterday, he is going to deliver you today. One more place. Turn to Matthew chapter 26 and we'll be ending there. Matthew 26. Now, what am I doing? I'm building your faith and your life of faith, that instead of crying and belly aching about everything, you can use your faith. You can pray and believe that angels are being sent. How many of you know you don't pray and then worry all night? Well, there's no faith in that. Look what it says in Isaiah and Matthew chapter 26 and verse 52. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again your sword into its place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Now, what am I saying there? I'm saying that he's not talking about you being in the military. He's talking about those people that use that sword unrighteously. Verse 53. Thinketh thou that I cannot now what? Pray to my who? Father. And he will shall presently give me what? More than, come on, 12 legions of angels. Let me ask you, how many is in a legion? Somebody said could be 6,000. Well, if he gives you 12 times 6 is what? 72. 72,000 angels. Jesus said all he has to do is pray. Well, the same thing he did for Jesus, Jesus said he'll do for you. Say amen to that. Are you following what I'm saying? So you can see here where in the book of Acts, you can see where angels came and led them out of jail. You can see where angels did all kinds of things. So you have angels with you when? All the time. They are with you when? Right now. I said, right now. Now, How do they hearken? Let me show you this, and we'll quit. Just turn to the page. Turn to Psalm chapter 103, please. Psalm 103. I know it's a simple message, but God is establishing His kingdom here in the earth. Kingdom is made up of two words. King means M-E-L-E-K, Melech, which means someone who rules or reigns, someone who has complete sovereignty. That sovereignty, that is a king. It's spelled in the Greek M-E-L-E-K, all right? So whatever the king says becomes law. Kings. Kingdom. The word dumb means the word domain, which means a certain location or territory. God gives you a certain territory that He wants you to rule over here in this earth. Look what it says in verse 19. The Lord has prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom does what? Rules over all. Bless the Lord, ye His who? Angels that excel in what? Strength that do His what? Commandments. Keep going. Hearkening to the voice of His word. Now, you remember over in Acts chapter 5, angels went and got Peter out of prison. And also in Acts chapter 12, they came and got, I think, Peter out of prison again. Praise God. So if they can get Peter out of prison, then they can get your children out of trouble. They can keep them, say amen to that. They can keep them so forth and so on, because Peter was asleep. All right, now, I'm talking about your children somewhere asleep. He'll wake them up and bring them on out of there. Now, let me give you the last thing. Now, I'm gonna give you this, and just take my word for this. This came from a movie that I saw, which is a military movie. And it's an older movie, but what happened is the general was fighting battles, winning the battles. And this is a U.S. Army and Marines. And what happened was the general was not able to go any further, because to go any further, he needed air cover. And the airplanes were not able to get in. And the reason why they were not able to get in is because the weather was poor, and they had a low ceiling, and the airplanes couldn't fly below those clouds. They couldn't get below them. And the weather was what we call immoderate. The weather was bad. It was snow, it was an overcast, and the weather was just bad. Now, this hung in there for a number of days, so the general was stopped, and he could not fight and get that battle won, the next battle. So what he did is he had a mind to call for the chaplain. He said, bring me the chaplain, tell the chaplain to come here. And the chaplain came, and he said, chaplain, I want you to pray for this weather to lift. And the chaplain said this, now I don't know how whether God will hear a prayer that you want the weather to be better so you can destroy your fellow man. He said, chaplain, I assure you I'm on good terms with the Almighty. And if you just write the prayer, you've done your job. He wrote the prayer. The general took the prayer, went outside, and read it. The next day, it was bright sun, and he advanced and got the victory. Now, here's the prayer. I wrote it because I thought it showed something. Here's what it says. Almighty and most merciful Father, we humbly beseech you. Now this general took his helmet off and showed reverence to the Lord God. And I think he had some faith that the chaplain didn't have. Almighty and most merciful Father, we humbly beseech thee of thy great goodness to restrain this immoderate weather with which we have had to contend. Grant us now faith. Pardon me. Grant us now fair weather for the battle. Graciously hearken to us as soldiers
who call upon thee, that armed with power, we may advance from victory to victory and crush the oppression and wickedness of our enemies and establish thy justice among men and among nations. Amen. Wow. That's powerful.
I had to write that. I had to write it down, and so I was going to share that with you. The next day, open skies. They advanced to victory. Now, he wasn't trying to kill folk. He was trying to establish justice. Are you following what I'm saying? And I'm saying, whether it's angels, whether it's the Spirit of God or whatever have you, is by faith we move forward. But he knew that if he ever prayed, God would answer. And the chaplain, the one who studied theology, well, I don't know about this. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying it may be that the generations before us may not have known what you know now. But we're not, God is not out to destroy man's lives. But he wants to establish justice among men and among nations. Did you get something out of this tonight? For those who are here and you need to be born again, I want to pray with you right now. Now, you know who you are, so don't be trying to hide and act like you have something you don't have. We all had to come the same way, and guess what? The same God that saved Bill Winston is here to save you tonight. So if you're here tonight and you know in your life you're not right with God, you say, Pastor Winston, would you please pray for me? Yes, I will. That is one reason I am in town. Because God knew you were going to be here tonight. I want to pray with you right now. Whoever that is, take a step of faith. Get up out of your chair. Come up here and stand with me right now. And let's pray and get your life right with God.